Hey, everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, and welcome to Around Town with ChicagoJazz.com. This is our new series that we're doing featuring music that's coming up, live performances, and anything else that's happening around the Chicago jazz scene specifically. And I am excited to have on our episode one, we are just relaunching this series after COVID, and we'll talk all about where I've been at another time. But anyways, happy to be back, happy to be happening again and getting things going. We're joined by the great Larry Fuller. He is coming into Winter's Jazz Club with his trio for two sets on August 25th. And that's Winter's, of course, 6465 North McClurg Court right there in Chicago. I'm sure many of you know where that is. wintersjazzclub.com. Tickets are still available for both shows, and I would encourage you to get them because if you want to hear a swinging jazz trio with some incredible players, this is the place to go, and you're not going to hear anything better that night, and that's for sure. So, Larry, pleasure having you on the show. I'm so happy you're coming into Chicago. I know you've been here a ton of times in the past. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well, because I've seen you perform with Ray. I saw you perform with Jeff Hamilton a few times. And but before we get into all that, why don't we talk a little bit about this show coming up on August 25th, and who's in the group? And what can people expect to hear that night?
Yeah, well, I'm very excited that we're celebrating the music of Ray Brown, you know, and I have the great bassist, J.J. Hassan Shakur, who I think is one of the, you know, in addition to John Clayton and Christian McBride, I would say Hassan is one of the main, you know, disciples of Ray Brown's school of bass playing. And he, you know, had a relationship and friendship with Ray since he was a young man. Hassan's father, Gerald Wiggins, was a great pianist out there in Los Angeles where Hassan grew up. So he really comes out of that Ray Brown school of bass playing, and I'm excited to have him with me. In addition to Chicago's own, the great George Flutis, who shared the bandstand with me when I had the opportunity and blessing to play with Ray. So, you know, it's two guys, one guy that was actually with Ray's trio in addition to myself. And then, you know, just three of us who have a real connection to Ray and loved Ray and playing with him. And we're so excited to be celebrating his trio music and playing a lot of those great arrangements that he had,
you know, it's the music of Ray Brown. I mean, that's like decades, right? I mean, it goes to all the different groups that he played with, Oscar Peterson. I mean, the list goes on, Ella Fitzgerald and everything else. And then of course he had his own trio that toured for many, many years as well. Just as the Ray Brown trio. I mean, how do you guys even go through and figure out like two whittle it down to two sets of music and actually, you know, I mean, is it some of the stuff that maybe you and George played together with Ray and you guys are, you know, redoing those? Cause the arrangements are very intricate as well. I remember hearing you guys play when you guys came to the showcase a couple of times, but you know, and there's some good YouTube videos of you guys too, as well, just so everybody knows if you want to get a little preview. But how do you even whittle down the repertoire?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, Ray's music just, you know, encompasses such a, you know, vast time period in jazz, and just his association with just really pretty much everybody in jazz throughout his career. But we're just drawing from the actual trio repertoire that, you know, we played with Ray when he had the Ray Brown trio. So, you know, and even at that, there was, by the time I think I joined the group, there was already like over 100 arrangements that I had to learn. So, we're picking, you know, some of our favorites, and there's just so much great music in that trio book. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I got to ask, because, you know, as everyone probably knows, I'm a drummer that watches this show, and you know, playing with Ray Brown would have been just unbelievable. I've talked to George about it a little bit, but as a piano player, feeling his pocket and then playing with other bass players after you're on that gig with Ray and then playing with other bass players, What is it that Ray does, or where does he place those notes? Or is it more of like a harmonic thing that he does, and you guys are working together, just it's different than anybody else? What were some of the things that Ray brought to the bandstand in that realm that people might not know?
Yeah, well, just Ray's just his overall just complete musicianship. You know, when I first start playing with him and we rehearsed out at a piano dealership. He was friends with this fella named David Abel out in Los Angeles, and he was like a real advocate of, you know, musicians and jazz. And he let Ray use the back part of the store to have some rehearsals at. But you know, Ray, he sat down at the piano and he could play, you know, the most beautiful voicings. And I mean, he, you know, his bass playing transcended just the instrument, in that he just had such a vocabulary and a command of the instrument, you know, and like harmonically, just, you know, all those things he would arpeggios, and just, you know, he was just such a complete musician that, and then, you know, you talk about his beat and his sound. I mean, his beat was so big and strong that, it's just tremendous. You know, it's hard to really define just, you know, one or two things. I mean, it's just the all those things that he encompassed. It was pretty remarkable to hear that sound in person and to feel that beat that he had.
Mm-hmm. You know, we should talk a little bit about how you got that gig too, and because I'm curious about that. Now, you played with Jeff Hamilton for many years, and I know Jeff played with Ray. And was he instrumental in making the connection, or was there another way that you met Ray and got started playing with him?
Yeah, I mean, he was, in a sense, because, you know, my path through, you know, my journey that, you know, led me to that gig. I often tell students, like in master classes and whatnot, it's kind of like, you know, every opportunity is a stepping stone. But I started out playing with the great pianist, or the great singer, Ernestine Anderson, you know. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, had a relationship with Ray. He sort of like resurrected her career and got her signed on to Concord Records. And, you know, he was even managing her for a while. But as a kid, I was listening to all the pianists that she basically, you know, was recording with. And Ray Brown was on a lot of her records. And, you know, some of my favorite pianists were on her records, Monty Alexander and Gene Harris, you know, Hank Jones.
Yeah.
And so when I first worked with her, I kind of really did my homework on all those records that she made. And that kind of style was sort of in my wheelhouse. So that led to me playing with her full time and traveling with her. And during that time, you know, we would often just use local bassists and drummers wherever we played. So when we played out in Los Angeles, we played with Jeff Hamilton. We actually played at this club, the Loa, which Ray Brown owned at the time in Santa Monica. So, you know, I because of the same thing, you know, similar influences and my love for the pianist that Jeff had played with, like Monty and Gene Harris, Jeff and I hit it off. And then when he started his trio, he thought of me, you know, because we were really compatible when we played together. And then that led to meeting Ray. And I'm trying to think. I think the first time I played with Ray was at one of these jazz parties, you know, where they kind of mix and match musicians, sets and whatnot. And then, let's see, I think it was in 1998, I was playing with Jeff's trio, but I wanted to do my own recording. And I asked Jeff if he would do it, you know, and he said yes. And I told him that I would really had a dream to, you know, record with Ray. So I called Ray, and he knew who I was, and he had heard me play with Jeff, and you know, he did this recording with me. And then shortly after that, Jeff Keyser by this time was in his band, and Jeff couldn't do a tour of Europe. And so Ray thought of me, and he called me. And, you know, I happened to know enough of the repertoire because I had heard his trio so many times live and, you know, listened to all those records. So I had enough of his trio material under my belt that we could kind of do this tour and actually play, you know, repertoire.
Yeah.
Just tunes. And so then because of that, you know, when Jeff left the group, I was kind of like a natural, I think, person that came to mind for him to replace Keyser.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that. But it was really a dream for me to play with Ray. I mean, when you grow up loving Oscar Peterson,
oh, yeah,
and Peter Walton, and all those players, I mean, Ray is just right there on so many of those records, you know. It was just such a thrill to get have that opportunity.
Well, and you know, all the way up until his passing, I mean, he was just playing constantly, right? I mean, he was on the road, he was touring and playing. And I mean, you know, I think it's that old school thing too, where even if he didn't have to, it just didn't feel right for him not to be touring and playing. You know how the old school musicians, they all came up playing 7 nights a week and touring, and that's what they did all the way through everything. So just, I mean, that had to be the same way with Ray, right? It's just, he didn't need to be touring as much as he was probably, but he just loved doing it.
That's it, man. He loved it so much, you know. He just had so much energy, and man, I mean, you know, I often think how, you know, people don't realize when they go to hear a group what, you know, what that on any given day what the band's day was like leading up to them walking on the bandstand, you know. And even Ray at his age, I mean, he just, when he's put foot on that bandstand, man, it was just, you know, 100% every time.
I know when he was in Chicago a lot, I know a lot of the older musicians, Nick Schneider being one of them, they would all go golfing every time in town. And then he would go play two sets at the showcase and hang out for a while at night and then go golfing again in the morning. So it was like, you know, they don't teach that in school, shall we say.
yeah for sure.
So, you know, I mean, why don't we talk a little bit about you know, you've got your own music too, so you're gonna be focused on Ray Brown, but you've got several releases out. The last one that came out was, I know we talked about it just before we came on, what was it, Overjoyed, right? 2019, that one came out. And that had to come out somewhat before the pandemic. Did you ever have a chance to actually tour and get out and about with that? Or are you going to feature some of that music on maybe another stop through Chicago at some point?
Yeah, I did. I did get to do some touring after I released that. Yeah, I mean, always, you know, playing with my trio. I had the great drummer Lewis Nash actually was on that recording with me. But these upcoming gigs are, you know, I do occasional Ray Brown tributes, and I've never actually done one with George, ironically, even though we were both in the group at the same time. But I have done quite a few over the years with Jeff Hamilton and usually John Clayton was on bass for those. But yeah, I'm normally just playing my trio music and just really enjoying the opportunity to get out there and play music, you know, whenever I can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, talk a little bit about composing too. I mean, because I'm curious, and we can wrap it back to the Ray Brown, because, you know, you to me, I always like asking this question because, you know, you compose original music and then you have to play the original music. And to me, since I don't compose music, I would want to be editing it all the time if I was the composer and then also performing it. Do you have a point where all of a sudden, okay, you've composed it, you've recorded it, you're not going to keep changing it. Now it's like, this is the way it is. This is the arrangement. Now we're just going to try to grow that arrangement organically as we play as a group.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to be, I try to be open to never saying this is like set in stone, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I compose pieces or even arrangements, you know, as you know, the more opportunity you get to play and try material out, you know, you might have a new composition and you record it and, you know, it turns out well, but when you start incorporating that into a set in front of a live audience, you know, then, you know, different things happen. And that's kind of the beauty of it, how, you know, even some of Ray's arrangements would, he would adapt them a little bit, or just natural things happen when you're playing this music and, you know, the other musicians are responding to what you're doing, that, you know, these compositions and arrangements have a way of growing and changing over time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of music, right? And beauty of seeing it live. And the beauty of seeing it like actually live with you in the club watching it, because it's just different than watching a YouTube video all the time.
Right. And when you're playing live too, you know, you're playing before an audience, you know, and there's a whole energy there and a communication level that doesn't really exist when you're in the recording studio. So just, you know, whether it's like maybe setting up an intro or whatever, you know, you have more of an opportunity to stretch out and explore a composition in a live setting than you would in the studio, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're trying to, you know, keep the track, you know, a reasonable length of time and so forth and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, especially with jazz, I love listening to live recordings. You know, if there's a live, well, look at all the stuff that, speaking of Ray Brown, right? All the stuff that he did with Oscar at the London House here in Chicago. I mean, those live recordings, you can hear the energy they're feeding off of from the crowd. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. So, all right. So all the information on all of your releases and any other touring and any other things that you have coming up with, they should hit up LarryFuller.com. And then, of course, August 25th, 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. sets, the Larry Fuller Trio, tribute to Ray Brown. And that's at Winters Jazz Club, 465 North McClurg Court, right there in Chicago. I'm sure many of you have been there, and Scott's doing a great job over there. You've never been there, right? This is your debut over at Winters.
It is. And, yeah, Scott is a great guy, and he's got a great venue going there. I'm really looking forward. This is my first opportunity to play there, you know. In the past, I've played at the Jazz Showcase over the years, you know, but very excited to get a chance to play at Winters.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's a very intimate room, and it's a great layout. And for those of you that have not been there before, you can get there a little early, have cocktails outside on his little patio that overlooks the lake, and then come inside and hear some great jazz. So, Larry, thanks for taking time today. Appreciate it. I'm going to try to get over there August 25th as well and meet you in person. And I know you got a killer band with George and Hassan. So it's going to be an incredible night of music. And we'll look forward to seeing you here in Chicago.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, definitely. Thanks again. And thank everybody for watching. And of course, all the information is at chicagojazz.com for upcoming performances. And we will link all this stuff up for Winters as well. And until next time, I will see you somewhere out on the scene.